John's Gospel, chapter 21, verse number 15. Let us hear the word of God. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and gather thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Amen. We'll end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart for his name's sake. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. And again, let us, as is our custom, let's take a few words from Scripture upon our hearts, words that God has given to us, that we might bring them back to him. Let's just pray, Lord, speak to me. Or take the prayer of the psalmist. Open my eyes, Lord, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Let's just take a moment to do that. It's a public declaration before God that we need him. We need his help. Let us all pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the blessed and holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we come again to thy throne in Christ and through him, and by the merits of his redeeming blood. And, O God, we thank thee that there is a throne of grace. We thank thee, O God, there's a throne that we can come to and receive that help that we need. And, O God, we do need it, and we pray for it. Lord, open our eyes, that we might see wonderful things out of thy law. Give us, O God, thy Holy Spirit. Give us the enlightenment of the mind. And, O God, I confess before thine omnipotent, omniscient throne my complete inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. Empty me now of self and my sin. Wash me completely in Jesus' blood. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. O God, grant that divine anointing. Grant that holy baptism. And we echo the words of John the Baptist of old. Lord, I have need to be baptized of thee. Grant it now. Grant power. Let thy will be done. Let the devil be bound. And glory and honor brought to thy great name. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Some time ago, as many of you will remember, we began a study on striking moments in the life of Peter. We looked at him in many sermons. We looked at him as he exhorted us in 1 Peter 4 to be sober and to watch unto prayer. And we saw there that the church is in a battle and the church always has an enemy that goes against them. We then looked one Sunday morning from Luke's Gospel where the Lord said, called on Peter to leave all and follow him. We then saw him in prison. And we entitled that message, Watching Unto Prayer, as the church prayed when Peter was in the prison. We also looked at him when he brought a word to the church in every age in 2 Peter 3, verse 8, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We then saw one morning steps to Peter's denial, and we saw in those steps that the denial was almost inevitable. It was almost inevitable. And then we saw lessons to be learned from Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration. That day when he was taken up there, he and James and John up with the Lord, and the Lord was transfigured before them. The final one that I brought to you was Peter on Galilee's water. as he got out of that boat and walked towards the Lord. And that was the final one, the final message that I looked at on Peter. Now, we saw in all those messages, and I'm sure you would agree, as we look at Peter, he's a character that we warm to. He's a character that we see so much of ourselves in, and yet he's a character that we wish we were more like. Because Peter was a man that loved Christ dearly. He loved Christ dearly. And that's what I want to speak on in this final message, in this short study on the life of Peter. You see, here we are this morning. We're back to Galilee. We're back on this Galilean shore. The water's ebbing onto the shore. Our Lord has lit a fire. He's lit a fire of comfort, a fire of coals, and fish laid thereon and bread for the disciples. As one preacher said, as one old preacher said on that fire of coals, I don't know where the Lord got the coal, but he who created the mines would not have had a problem. The Lord has a fire of coals waiting on them. He tells his disciples to bring the fish to shore. And when they do that, in verse number 12, we read those words, come and dine. The Lord then gives them bread and fish, which he had prepared for them. And then we read these words in verse number 15, where we read this morning, so when they had dined, there's the setting. They've dined, they've ate with the Lord, they've had this meal with him. They're now sitting down with him. The disciples are sitting around the Savior. And he begins to speak with Peter. He begins to have a conversation with Peter that while the world stands and there's a church in it, this conversation will be preached on, it'll be thought about, it'll be applied to hearts, it'll be a challenge to hearts while the world stands. It's Christ's after-dinner chat with Peter about his love, about his love. The first thing I want to show you from this portion is this, as we bring this whole study in Peter to a close, was the object of Peter's love that Christ asked him about. Verse number 16 is really our text, that little phrase, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now, he didn't say to Peter, Peter, do you love preaching? He didn't say to Peter, do you love the work of God, Peter? Because you could do all that and have a heart cold for Christ. He begins to ask Simon Peter a simple question. Peter, what is your heart like toward me? Not Peter, do you like preaching? Not Peter, do you like going out there and preaching and the work of God? That's not what I'm asking you, Peter. I'm asking you, Peter, do you love me? That's what he said to him. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? I tell you, folks, it's the question. It's the question to one that had recently failed the Lord. You can feel the atmosphere charged. You read it. This question comes out of the blue. They're just after having a meal. The Lord's there. He says to them, come and dine. He's brought them to this meal. And then out of the blue, he looks at Simon Peter. And this is the second time he says it. Lovest thou me? Not asking you, Peter, do you love preaching? Not asking you, Peter, do you love the work of God? I'm asking you, Peter, do you love me? I tell you, folks, that is the question. What better way could we close this study than look at these final words? The object of our love. Not that we love our land. Not that we love our nation. Not that we even love the free church. Those things are all fine. Do we love Christ? Where's Christ in our hearts this morning? Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? There we see in that question, the priority in the eyes of the Lord is always love for Christ. It's always love for him. Lovest thou me? The Lord didn't say, are you saved? I tell you, it's a heart-searching question, love for Christ. And immediately we must throw that question out at ourselves as we bring this to a close, because this is really the closing portion of the Lord and Peter before the ascension. Lovest thou me? The words are recorded for our challenge. The Lord Jesus prepares the setting here. He gets them set down, those he delights in, those he saves. I tell you, folks, the atmosphere is electric. It's electric. There's no hiding place. They're face to face with God. And the Lord says, Simon Peter, lovest thou me? Priority. Priority. It was also public. It was public because publicly Peter had behaved in a way that would have caused many to wonder, was Peter ever saved at all? And I am sure that ringing in his heart the minute the Lord asked that question, thundering into his soul came those words, Didst not I see you with him in the garden? Art thou not one of this man's disciples? Art not thou one of his disciples? Three times. Those words come thundering into his soul, I'm sure, to remind him of his denial. And now the Lord says, Lovest thou me? The Lord says it here in verse 16 for a second time. He's already asked him in verse 15. He asks him again in 17 for a third time. Peter, lovest thou me? Turn with me to Mark 3 a wee moment. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. Here's the Lord in the synagogue. It's the Sabbath. And the Lord goes into the synagogue. Mark chapter 3 verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which is a withered hand. Think about that. If something withers, it loses its glory, it loses its brightness, it leaves a dullness, but it gives the thought, when you think of withering, it gives the thought that it wasn't always withered. Something had to be not withered for it to wither. This man's hand is withered. He's in the synagogue. He's a withered hand. He would only have been half as strong as he used to be because one hand's now withered. But how awful when love for Christ withers, because that's how you can apply that word. We're ending the study in Peter. Here's how the Lord ended it with him. Love for Christ withered. Love for Christ that used to bloom. Love for Christ that used to blaze a trail. Love for Christ that used to be seen. And nobody could deny it. And now it's withered. It's dull. It's not even anything like its past glory. Lovest thou me? I tell you, the atmosphere in Galilee's shore, it was electric. They're closed in. Not Peter, do you love preaching? Not Peter, do you love the work of God? I'm asking you, Peter, do you love me? That's what I'm asking you, Peter. And I'm not asking folk this morning, do they love the free church? I'm not asking folk this morning, do they love your country? I'm not asking you, do you love your friends and neighbors? The Lord's saying to you this morning, do you love me? How's your heart for me? That's what the Lord's saying. And remember, the Lord is addressing here believers. I think it's the only scene in the Scripture where nobody speaks of those disciples unless they're spoken to. There's not even a word from anybody else. They were always so quick to talk. Always so quick to voice their opinions and always trying to outdo each other. None of that this morning. It seems electric. The Lord speaks. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? That's the question. It's priority. It was done publicly. I tell you, it was full of power. It was full of power, that whole scene. What do I mean? Well, look at the first time he asked him, verse number 15. Look at verse number 15 there. John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And you don't need me to explain what that was about. Peter earlier on had denied, though the rest of the disciples deny you, Lord, I'll not. And now the Lord has the right to ask the question, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these, the rest of the disciples? It's full of power. But I'll tell you better than that, it was full of a powerful providence. The whole scene's got a powerful providence. What do I mean by that? Look at verse 9 of chapter 21. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals. A fire of coals. There's only one other fire of coals in John's Gospel. Go to John 18. Here's the only other fire of coals. And Peter's at it. John 18, verse 18, and the servants and the officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself, and now the Lord waits on them coming off the boat, and he has a fire of coals ready. There's only ever one other fire of coals. Peter stood at it. The night he denied him. And now he's sitting at it. Now he's sitting at it face to face with Christ. And the Lord says around the fire, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And you see, dear friend, this morning I want to say this. You have lost out with God. You have lost out with God. You will see the power of the word and you'll feel it at times. There'll also be powerful providence come upon you that'll remind you of where you are. The Lord here has a fire of coals prepared. And I'm telling you, Peter knew the last fire of coals he stood at. The whole scene's electric. You find me another portion where the disciples aren't always speaking. I can't prove this, obviously. But I believe the other disciples were speechless because they too failed the Lord. They too failed. And there's power in the word here. There's this powerful providence about this fire, but there's also powerful reminder of blessings in the past. Now look what he calls him. Three times he says to him, Simon, son of Jonas. The last time Christ called him that. Go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. The Lord has asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am? They said, well, Lord, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah. And then he says, and whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? To which Peter replied, thou art the Christ. Verse 16, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, or Simon, son of Jonas. And now the Lord comes. And by that same statement, he reminds Peter of blessings in the past. Now, listen. There are people here this morning. And you know that the word has come with freshness and power to your soul. You know that you have been reminded time and time again, maybe when you're alone, of how it used to be with you and God. You know that your love for Christ wasn't always withered. I tell you, it was bright. It was known. But this morning, the Lord's word comes to us all. Lovest thou me lovest thou me? Think of what you've lost. Go with me now to Judges 16. Judges chapter 16. Here's Samson in the dungeon. Can see nothing. Can see nothing with the naked eye, because he doesn't have any eyes. They're gone. But Samson has a memory. And Samson remembers how it used to be. And we know that because when he prays for one final victory. And therefore he remembered the victories of the past. He remembered the great times that he had with God. But you know what the whole turning point in that portion is? Judges chapter 16, look with me at verse number 26. Look at verse 26. Judges 16, verse 26, the world is mocking him. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me. You know what that means? That means leave me alone. And dear backslider, there's only one way to get back to God. And that's to say to everybody and everything, look, leave me alone. Because from that moment, Samson, again on the page of Scripture, begins to commune with God. Now, dear people, and that message I'm telling you now is a challenge to my heart. I sat in my study this week as I prepared this, and I had a soul-searching time, I can tell you. As I thought of maybe years ago, do I feel the same about Christ as I used to? I tell you, it's a soul-searching question. Not only for the backslider, but for every believer. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? It's priority, it's public, it was powerful, the word came with power. But then the depth of the love. Let's look at the depth of the love. Go back to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. When the Lord Jesus in chapter 21, verse 15 and 16, asked Peter, did he love him? When he said, lovest thou me, he used a Greek word that was a very strong word, and it meant and it spoke of a very strong love. But when Peter said in verse 15 and 16, when Peter said, thou knowest that I love thee, Peter used a different word. Peter's word, the word Peter used, it literally means affection. Thou knowest I have affection for you. You see, Peter's not making any more stupid boasts. He has learned. And what Peter's saying is what every true child of God says when the Lord deals with them. He's saying, Lord, thou knowest I don't love you as much as I should, but I have affection for you. I have affection for you. And in verse number 17, when the Lord asks him for a third time, the Lord doesn't use the same word he used the first twice. He then says to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, have you affection for me? Have you affection for me? Now let's put that one out. And let's just ask it as we close this study. And I am telling you before God, this question went through my soul this week with power. Not Tom Laverty, do you love preaching? Not Tom Laverty, do you love the work of God? Do you love speaking to souls? That's not the question. The question is, Tom Laverty, do you love Christ? How's your love for him? And that's the question to us all. Because we could all go through the motions of religion. Coming through those doors each Sunday morning. Sit on. Bible below the arm. Hat on. Great word pastor at the door. Home for dinner. Never mind a thing about it. But there's no hiding place in John 21. They're face to face with God. And he says to them, "Lovest thou me? What do you think of me?" Let's ask ourselves it. What do we think of Christ in our hearts? Has it withered a bit? Is it not as bright as it used to be? Has it dulled down? Oh, you're still saved. When's the last time you prayed? Many here I know are walking with the Lord and seeking the Lord and praying every day. Keep it up. But dear friend, is there one here or more than one? And you weren't on your knees this morning. You just about made the service for 11:30. There was no prayer time before it. Lovest thou me? You see, when that question's asked by the Lord, what do you think of the free church or your country or anything else is irrelevant. Because the Lord shows the priority here. The priority wasn't Peter's ministry. The priority was his heart for Jesus Christ. Now, God gave him that ministry. But on this occasion, the Lord says, "Simon, son of Jonas, round the fire of coals. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" I tell you, the scene's electric. Nobody's opening their mouth. Nobody's speaking unless they're spoken to. They don't even know where to look. And I know I can't prove that, but that's what I believe. That scene's showing. Those disciples always spoke. They always had something to say about something. They're not speaking here because the Lord has set the scene for them. He's brought them in. He's fed them. And when I say he's brought them in, he's brought them in close. I know they're in the open air, but let me tell you, never a company were closed in with God like that company. And the searchlight begins. The depth of Peter's love, the confession of it. Peter is able to call as his greatest witness the omniscience of Christ. I tell you, it's a glorious statement. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I have affection for thee. To say he doesn't make that foolish boast. He's saying, "Lord, I don't love you as much as you love me. But Lord, I have affection for you." And the Lord knows he's right. It's a beautiful statement. "No, Lord, I don't love you as much as I used to and as much as I should." That's what he's saying. "I don't love you as much as I should. But Lord, I'm calling your omniscience to be my witness. You know I have affection for you." Dear believer, can you say that? Or do you say before the Lord this morning, "Oh Lord, what has happened to me? What has happened, my love? What has happened, my zeal? What has happened, my fire? What has happened, the brightness, the bloom that used to be in my soul? Lord, what has happened?" Listen, friend. If you feel like that, you're in the very road to recovery. You're in the very road to recovery. The word's already penetrating your soul. The Holy Ghost is already applying it. He's drawing you back. Peter calls the omniscient Christ to be his witness. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I have affection for thee. Thirdly, the follow-on from that love. Each time the Lord received Peter's words, thou knowest that I love thee. He said, verse 15, feed my lambs. Verse 16, feed my sheep. Verse 17, feed my sheep. And the truth I want to bring from that fact is this. The Lord uses the erring one again. Listen. If failure was the end, if falling into sin was the end, where would that leave any of us this morning? But the Lord uses the erring one again, because each time he says to Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. You see, this is the final scene, if you like, in the restoration of Peter. The Christian army must never bury its wounded. It's crazy! Never bury their wounded. There's not an army on the world would bury their wounded. You help your wounded. You raise them up. And you don't turn your guns on the soldiers and the army with you. Any field marshal in a battle scene and one soldier turned his gun on another soldier, he would trail him off the field. There's one enemy. And you'd never bury your wounded. You never bury your wounded. You lift your wounded. You care for your wounded. What about the good Samaritan? The man went down that road. He fell among thieves. He lost much. The religion of the day passed him by. Let the Church of Christ never be like the religion of the day. But the Good Samaritan came and poured in the oil and the wine, bound up the wounds, raised him up again. Oh, dear people, understand this. That's what happens. That's what needs to happen. And dear backslider, in this meeting, listen to me. Listen to me. Nobody's going to bury you as I'm burying our wounded. There's no room in the Church of Christ for holy Joes looking down their nose on others that have erred. It is sheer hypocrisy. There's no room for it, and there's no scripture to back it up. And very often you find that those who do it are just trying to conceal themselves. You don't bury your wounded. You seek to lift them. You seek to draw alongside and befriend them. Now, if they don't want help, there's nothing you can do. But you seek to do it. And raise them up. What did the Lord say to him after that? Look at verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Peter died a martyr's death, and the Lord here tells him he would. But what we've been showing here is this, in this restoration, this moment with Peter and the Lord's telling Peter, listen, you'll walk with me till you die. There's a life's work ahead of you, Peter. Your sins in the past. There's a life's work ahead of you. And the Lord's telling him here, yes, the end was to come by martyrdom, and he realized that, and the Lord informs him of it. But dear believer, listen, what the Lord's telling Peter, he's telling each one of us, there's a life's work ahead of you. There's a life's work ahead of you. Your death is in my hands. It's under my control. That's what the Lord's telling him. Peter, you're going to grow old. You're going to die in a certain way. You're going to glorify God in it. That's all in my control. It's all in my hands. Peter, from now to then, you have a life of service ahead of you. And man, woman, this morning in this meeting, there's a life of service ahead for every one of us. For every one of us. It's time to move on, dear backslider. It's time to come back to the Lord and see that. Do not allow the devil to tell you you're finished. He's a liar from the beginning. Do not allow the devil to tell you there's no hope now. He's a liar from the beginning. Here's the Lord. He tells Peter, Peter, you have a life of service ahead of you. Now follow me. There's the counsel the Lord gives him. Follow me. See that word follow? Turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 and verse number 11. Simon brings the fish to land. The Lord makes this great statement, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. There's the word. The Lord has just called Peter to full-time service in Luke 5. He's recommissioned him in Luke 21, and what's more, he's telling him, you have a life's service ahead of you. Peter, there's this opportunity now for you. I tell you, what a statement it is. What a statement the Lord here gives him. Peter has been told he is right to his death. The hand of the Lord's going to be upon him. The hand of the Lord's going to be with him. Peter, just follow me. And he gives Peter this word, a word of counsel, a word of comfort. Now listen. What's the closing lesson in the life of Peter? It's this. The Lord has given every one of us a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to serve God and His Christ. Wherever He has you, that's where He's put you. As we see from this word to Peter, you're not going to die outside the will of God. You'll die at an appointment set by God. And God will be in control of that too. And that death will terminate your life's work. And that death will perfect you and take you to heaven. But until that happens, you have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And what I mean by that is very simple. You're not coming back for a second chance at this. What any of us do between now and the moment of our death is all we will ever do for God on this scene of time. And there's not one of us knows when our death's coming. But I tell you, when God gave Peter that word, Peter grasped it with both hands. He seized the moment. He seized the opportunity that God gave him. I tell you, folks, that was electric. Peter seized it. It lived with Peter to the day he died. How do we know? Acts chapter 12, he's between two prison officers. He's to die the next morning. He's to die the next morning, and he's sleeping because he knows he's not dying the next morning, contrary to what Herod thinks. Because God told him, oh yes, Peter, you're going to die a martyr's death, but you'll be old when you die it. And therefore, folks, there's a wee lesson there, just in passing. When God speaks to you, read it over and over and over again, and pray it over and over again, and make sure you get it all. Yes, there was the prospect of a martyr's death in Acts 12. Those two tied, but the age didn't. That's how it wasn't going to happen. And therefore, when the Lord speaks, make sure you get it all. But Peter got it all. Oh, he got it all. He was face to face with God in this situation. God has spoken to Peter. God's telling Peter, there's a life's work ahead of you. There's a life's work ahead of you. And I tell you, dear people, Peter grasped it. He grasped it with both hands. Later on down the portion, the Lord tells Peter, look, Peter, don't you worry what anybody else is going to do for me. Just you follow me. And man, woman, young person today, saved by grace, where God has you, that's where he wants you. And where God has you, you grasp the moment. And you grasp the opportunity. Peter grasped it. He was a prisoner for Christ. He was a soul winner for Christ. He was a writer of scripture for Christ. He taught the saints. He gave his life for Christ. He died for Christ. And today he's with them. And Peter's opportunities are gone too. But boy, did he seize it. He grasped it. I'm getting another chance here. I'm not letting this slip. Listen, dear backslider, erring one, it's never the end with God. God, who is rich in mercy, whereby he loved us. Is it not time to grasp this once in a lifetime opportunity? I say it to myself, as I said it to myself this week, and I'm telling you before God, there were times I sat at my desk this week, and boy, did I have to think about a few things. You see, the question, lovest thou me, always follows on to serve thou me. This opportunity for any of us isn't coming again. When it ends, it ends. It takes us home to glory. But I tell you, Peter made it count for God. Peter made it count for God. And I believe with all my heart, as the water flowed on Galilee's shore and ebbed across it, and Peter and those disciples sat face to face with God, and Peter called the omniscient Christ as his witness, Lord, you know all things, you know of affection for you. Not as much as I wish I had, but I have affection for you and you know it. I tell you, that Galilean shore changed Peter forever. Is there one that will get up from this meeting and say, yes, Lord, I don't love you as much as I should. I don't even love you as much as I wish I did. But Lord, I call you as my witness. I have affection for you. Then man, woman, young person, follow him. You're all upon the altar lay. And the blessed Holy Ghost will do the rest and give to you God's very best. Maybe one here this morning, and there are, and you're not saved. You're not even on your way to heaven. Your sins have never been forgiven. Heaven, sure, you will never see. You'll never see it. Unless you repent and believe the gospel. And let me tell you something. Let's get this clear. This once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for you to get saved is passing. And when it passes, it passes. Man, woman, young person, for the sake of the soul God gave you, get that into your head. When this passes, it passes. If you die out of Christ, There's not a preacher on earth or a session or a committee or a congregation can do one thing for you. We just hang our heads in despair. Because your opportunity. Take it right with God. It was there. Then it went. I tell you that's serious. I tell you that's solemn. I tell you, that's fearful, young man, young woman, older man, older woman. Believer, dear brother and sister, live for God while you've the moment. Sinner, get to God through Christ while you can. Because if you die without him, you die and you eternally perish without him. And I wish I had words to, boy, I wish I had words to get that home to you. Oh, may God the Holy Ghost apply what has been of God himself this morning to every heart, and may anything that's of this preacher just be forgotten. We close our study in the life of Peter. Lovest thou me? Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I have affection for ye. Then follow me. Right to death. And may God give us all grace to do it for his name's sake. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. And now as our heads are bowed here, are there some believers that need to do business with God here? Are there some that need to speak to the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive my sin. Forgive my wandering. I tell you, I did it this week. Lord, deal with my heart. Lord, you've shown us that the only priority is love for Christ. Hear prayer. Father, take thy word. Bless it to every heart. Meet the need of every soul. Continue with us in our worship, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.